we delay the start of our regularly scheduled program in order to bring you a special report from NBC News. Here is NBC News correspondent Edwin Newman.
Good evening. President Nixon is about to address the nation. His subject is Vietnam, and the expectation, which the White House has done nothing to discourage, is that he will announce tonight a further American troop withdrawal from Vietnam. Mr. Nixon is speaking from his house in San Clemente, California. He went there after flying from Washington to Hawaii to welcome and decorate the Apollo 13 astronauts. The crisis aboard Apollo 13 led Mr. Nixon to postpone tonight's speech from last Thursday. Now here is the president.
Good evening, my fellow Americans. I have requested this television and radio time tonight to give you a progress report on our plan to bring a just peace to Vietnam. When I first outlined our program last June, I stated that the rate of American withdrawals from Vietnam would depend on three criteria: progress in the training of the South Vietnamese, progress in the Paris negotiations, and the level of enemy activity. Tonight, I am pleased to report that progress in training and equipping South Vietnamese forces has substantially exceeded our original expectations last June. Very significant advances have also been made in pacification. Although we recognize that problems remain, these are encouraging trends. However, I must report with regret that no progress has taken place on the negotiating front. The enemy still demands that we unilaterally and unconditionally withdraw all American forces, that in the process we overthrow the elected government of South Vietnam, and that the United States accept the political settlement that would have the practical consequence of the forcible imposition of a communist government upon the people of South Vietnam. That would mean humiliation and defeat for the United States. This we cannot and will not accept. Let me now turn to the third criteria for troop withdrawals, the level of enemy activity. In several areas since December, that level has substantially increased. In recent months, Hanoi has sent thousands more of their soldiers to launch new offensives in neutral Laos in violation of the Geneva Accords of 1962, to which they were signatories. And south of Laos, almost 40,000 communist troops are now conducting overt aggression against Cambodia, a small neutralist country that the communists have used for years as a base for attack upon South Vietnam in violation of the Geneva Accords of 1954, to which they were also signatories. This follows the consistent pattern of North Vietnamese aggression in Indochina. During the past 8 years, they have sent tens of thousands of troops into all three countries of the peninsula and across every single common border. Men and supplies continue to pour down the Ho Chi Minh Trail, and in the past 2 weeks, the communists have stepped up their attacks upon Allied forces in South Vietnam. However, despite this new enemy activity, there has been an overall decline in enemy force levels in South Vietnam since December. As the enemy force levels have declined, and as the South Vietnamese have assumed more of the burden of battle, American casualties have declined. I'm glad to be able to report tonight that in the first 3 months of 1970, the number of Americans killed in action dropped to the lowest first quarter level in 5 years. In June a year ago, when we began troop withdrawals, we did so on a cut and try basis, with no certainty that the program would be successful. In June, we announced withdrawal of 25,000 American troops. In September, another 35,000, and then in December, 50,000 more. These withdrawals have now been completed, and as of April 15, a total of 115,500 men have returned home from Vietnam. We have now reached a point where we can confidently move from a period of cut and try to a longer range program for the replacement of Americans by South Vietnamese troops. I am therefore tonight announcing plans for the withdrawal of an additional 150,000 American troops to be completed during the spring of next year. This will bring a total reduction of 265,500 men in our armed forces in Vietnam below the level that existed when we took office 15 months ago. The timing and pace of these new withdrawals within the overall schedule will be determined by our best judgment of the current military and diplomatic situation. This far-reaching decision was made after consultation with our commanders in the field, and it has the approval of the government of South Vietnam. Now, viewed against the enemy's escalation in Laos and Cambodia, and in view of the stepped-up attacks this month in South Vietnam, this decision clearly involves risks. But I again remind the leaders of North Vietnam that while we are taking these risks for peace, they will be taking grave risks should they attempt to use the occasion to jeopardize the security of our remaining forces in Vietnam by increased military action in Vietnam, in Cambodia, or in Laos. I repeat what I said November 3rd and December 15th. If I conclude that increased enemy action jeopardizes our remaining forces in Vietnam, I shall not hesitate to take strong and effective measures to deal with that situation. My responsibility as Commander-in-Chief of our armed forces is for the safety of our men, and I shall meet that responsibility. The decision I have announced tonight to withdraw 150,000 more men over the next year is based entirely on the progress of our Vietnamization program. There is a better, shorter path to peace through negotiations. We shall withdraw more than 150,000 over the next year if we make progress at the negotiating front. Had the other side responded positively at Paris to our offer of May 14 last year, most American and foreign troops would have left Vietnam by now. A political settlement is the heart of the matter. That is what the fighting in Indochina has been about over the past 30 years. Now, we've noted with interest the recent statement by Soviet Deputy Foreign Minister Melek concerning a possible new Geneva conference on Indochina. We do not yet know the full implications of this statement. It is in the spirit of the letters I wrote on April 7 to signatories of the 1962 Geneva Accords urging consultations and observance of the Accords. We have consistently said we were willing to explore any reasonable path to peace. We are in the process of exploring this one. But whatever the fate of this particular move, we are ready for a settlement fair to everyone. Let me briefly review for you the principles that govern our view of a just political settlement. First, our overriding objective is a political solution that reflects the will of the South Vietnamese people and allows them to determine their future without outside interference. I again reaffirm this government's acceptance of eventual total withdrawal of American troops. In turn, we must see the permanent withdrawal of all North Vietnamese troops and be given reasonable assurances that they will not return. Second, a fair political solution should reflect the existing relationship of political forces within South Vietnam. We recognize the complexity of shaping machinery that would fairly apportion political power in South Vietnam. We are flexible. We have offered nothing on a take-it-or-leave-it basis. And third, we will abide by the outcome of the political process agreed upon. President Chu and I have repeatedly stated our willingness to accept the free decision of the South Vietnamese people. But we will not agree to the arrogant demand that the elected leaders of the government of Vietnam be overthrown before real negotiations begin. Let me briefly review the record of our efforts to end the war in Vietnam through negotiations. We were told repeatedly in the past that our adversaries would negotiate seriously if only we stopped the bombing of North Vietnam, if only we began withdrawing our forces from South Vietnam, if only we dealt with the National Liberation Front as one of the parties to the negotiations, if only we would agree in principle to removal of all of our forces from Vietnam. We have taken all these steps. The United States, over a year and a half, stopped all bombing of North Vietnam. Long ago, we agreed to negotiate with the National Liberation Front as one of the parties. We have already withdrawn 115,500 American troops. Tonight, I've announced the decision to reduce American force levels by 250,000 men from what they were 15 months ago. We have offered repeatedly to withdraw all of our troops if the North Vietnamese would withdraw theirs. We have taken risks for peace that every fair an objective man can readily recognize. And still, there is no progress at the negotiating table. It is Hanoi, and Hanoi alone, that stands today blocking the path to a just peace for all the peoples of Southeast Asia. When our astronauts returned safely to Earth last Friday, the whole world rejoiced with us. We could have had no more eloquent demonstration of a profound truth, that the greatest force working for peace in the world today is the fact that men and women everywhere, regardless of differences in race, religion, nationality, or political philosophy, value the life of a human being. We were as one as we thought of those brave men, their wives, their children, their parents. The death of a single man in war, whether he's an American, a South Vietnamese, a Viet Cong, or a North Vietnamese, is a human tragedy. That's why we want to end this war and achieve a just peace. We call upon our adversaries to join us in working at the conference table toward that goal. No presidential statement on Vietnam would be complete without an expression of our concern for the fate of the American prisoners of war. The callous exploitation of the anxieties and anguish of the parents, the wives, the children of these brave men as negotiating pawns is an unforgivable breach of the elementary rules of conduct between civilized peoples. We shall continue to make every possible effort to get Hanoi to provide information on the whereabouts of all prisoners, to allow them to communicate with their families, to permit inspection of prisoners of war camps, and to provide for the early release of at least the sick and the wounded. My fellow Americans, 5 years ago, American combat troops were first sent to Vietnam. The war since that time has been the longest and one of the most costly and difficult conflicts in our history. The decision I have announced tonight means that we finally have in sight the just peace we are seeking. We can now say with confidence that pacification is succeeding. We can now say with confidence that the South Vietnamese can develop the capability for their own defense. And we can say with confidence that all American combat forces can and will be withdrawn. I could not make these statements tonight had it not been for the dedication, the bravery, the sacrifice of hundreds of thousands of young men who have served in Vietnam. Nor could I have made it had it not been for the perseverance of millions of Americans at home. When men write the history of this nation, they will record that no people in the annals of time made greater sacrifices in a more selfless cause than the American people sacrificed for the right of 18 million people in a faraway land to avoid the imposition of communist rule against their will, and for the right of those people to determine their own future free of outside interference. The enemy has failed to win the war in Vietnam because of three basic errors in their strategy. They thought they could win a military victory. They have failed to do so. They thought they could win politically in South Vietnam. They have failed to do so. They thought they could win politically in the United States. This proved to be their most fatal miscalculation. In this great free country of ours, we debate, we disagree, sometimes violently. But the mistake the totalitarians make over and over again is to conclude that debate in a free country is proof of weakness. We are not a weak people. We are a strong people. America has never been defeated in the proud 190-year history of this country, and we shall not be defeated in Vietnam. Tonight, I want to thank the American people for the support you have given so generously to the cause of a just peace in Vietnam. It is your steadiness and your stamina that the leaders of North Vietnam are watching tonight. It is these qualities, as much as any proposals, that will bring them to negotiate. It is America's resolve, as well as America's reasonableness, that will achieve our goal of a just peace in Vietnam and strengthen the foundations of a just and lasting peace in the Pacific and throughout the world. Thank you and good night.
President Nixon tonight has clearly gone farther than anybody thought he would. The last word from Washington before he spoke was that he would announce that he intended to pull out another 50,000 men. The figure he gave was 150,000. However, the 50,000, so we were led to believe, would be withdrawn in 4 months. The 150,000 are to be withdrawn in 12 months. The rate of withdrawal, therefore, remains the same. In fact, it's the same as it has been since the first withdrawal was announced in June 1969, about 12,000 men a month. One advantage in announcing the larger figure over a longer period evidently is that it makes clear to the government in Saigon what American intentions are, and also makes clear to Saigon the military obligations it will have to assume if the fighting continues. In that connection, the president emphasized that the withdrawal announced tonight was based on the progress of Vietnamization. He said there had been no progress in negotiations in Paris, but said that a political solution that reflected the will of the South Vietnamese people was still the heart of the matter. It is significant that he again expressed interest in the recent Soviet declaration of the need for another Geneva conference to settle the Indochinese troubles. He said he did not know the full implications of the Soviet statement. That appears to mean he would like the Russians to make clear their intentions. NBC News Pentagon correspondent Robert Goralski has been listening to the president and watching him in our studio in Washington. And here are some of his impressions.
Well, it seemed to me that the president cast a strong vote of confidence for the Saigon government and for the armed forces of South Vietnam by indicating that he would withdraw 30% of the men now in South Vietnam and leave the bulk of the defense of the country to the South Vietnamese. Mr. Nixon has full faith, obviously, in the Vietnamization and pacification program. He indicated that both programs are well ahead of schedule. If the president had confidence in the Saigon government, he displayed no confidence at all in the Paris peace talks. In other words, if during the next year there is no progress at all in Paris, Mr. Nixon is still willing to go ahead with the withdrawal of 150,000 more Americans. However, should there be any kind of progress in Paris, said the president, that rate could be accelerated. White House sources at San Clemente indicated that the president's decision on the 150,000 men is irreversible, but more men could be pulled out if there is any kind of progress in Paris. Tonight's announcement on further troop withdrawals continues to reverse a trend that marked the first 4 years of increasing American involvement in Vietnam. It was in 1965 that U.S. military personnel were introduced into South Vietnam in combat units. Subsequent years saw a steady climb in the numbers of men, reaching a peak of well over 500,000 just a year ago at this time. It was then that President Nixon first decided to proceed with the program of Vietnamization. One wonders about the military attitude on the announcements that the president announced this evening. You'll note that Mr. Nixon indicated that the military men in the field, his senior staff officers, were consulted on the announced withdrawal. Consulted was the only word he used. He did not indicate there was any general agreement on the part of his military strategists. There was some opposition by Pentagon leaders, by admirals, generals in the Pacific Theater and in South Vietnam that perhaps the United States was withdrawing too rapidly. But obviously, Mr. Nixon feels that Vietnamization can be accomplished with the South Vietnamese government and military forces being able to bear the brunt of the fighting in the years ahead. This is a 30% reduction over the next year. It's greater than the number of men who have been withdrawn in the past 12 months. During the period from June until now, about 115,000 men have been pulled out of the country. 150,000 are to be withdrawn before May of 1971. Ed?
Bob, a question. Mr. Nixon said that the reduction he was ordering involved some risks, particularly in view of the recent escalation of fighting in Laos and Cambodia and the surge in fighting in South Vietnam this month. But he said relatively little about Laos and Cambodia. Does that mean, do you think, that he is not very concerned about what is happening there?
I think obviously he's concerned about it, Ed. I think he noted that, too, by announcing for the first time that there were 40,000 North Vietnamese troops now in Cambodia. Now, with the 55,000 North Vietnamese troops who are in Laos already, you have 100,000 North Vietnamese in those other troubled sectors of Indochina. He did note, however, that there was a troop strength reduction on the part of the North Vietnamese in South Vietnam. Now, part of this might be a spillover because the North Vietnamese are more concerned now about Cambodia and Laos. I think the matter is a serious one for the administration. That was only fleeting reference to Cambodia and Laos, but obviously the United States must take those countries into concern in formulating general Southeast Asian policy.
It is also true, I suppose, that the president feels in announcing this new withdrawal that he is responding to a desire on the American people that American men be pulled out of Vietnam, and therefore it would be difficult for him to indicate that he must leave them in South Vietnam because of what has happened in Cambodia and in Laos. In that connection, it seemed to me that the speech had an interesting political application. Mr. Nixon had been expected, as I said earlier, to announce a smaller withdrawal, 50,000 men over a period of 4 months. And then to have the option open to him of announcing yet another withdrawal later in the summer, perhaps in October, just before the congressional election. And he appears to have given up the political advantage that he could have had by making two or perhaps three announcements instead of one. I wonder, Bob, why you think he chose to make this larger figure known at this time?
I think the disadvantages were obvious there, Ed. He does limit his options by indicating an irreversible course of action right now, withdrawing 150,000 more men. But I think at the same time, he also indicates to Hanoi that no matter what happens in Paris, nothing need happen between now and May of 1971, and the United States will continue to withdraw men. And I think Hanoi will most certainly get the president's point that the South Vietnamese will be able to stand by themselves eventually. And this was directed perhaps not to the American public necessarily, but to the North Vietnamese government.
He believes then that North Vietnam, in its turn, believes that South Vietnam will be able to take over substantially the burden of the fighting and that the South Vietnamese cause will not suffer from the Americans being withdrawn. It therefore follows, I take it, that the president takes in all seriousness the reports of progress in the training and competence of the South Vietnamese forces. Is that correct?
I think the only persons who might disagree with the rate, the accelerated rate of withdrawals, might be some of the top-flight military commanders, the ones I referred to earlier, who feel that North Vietnam is being defeated now in the battlefields of South Vietnam, even though we're no longer bombing the North, that perhaps with a further application of military power, American military power, plus bringing along the South Vietnamese to fight their own battles, that Hanoi would more readily agree to a peace. But obviously the president is perhaps going over the head of his own military advisors and saying, well, whatever happens to the South Vietnamese, we're pleased with the rate of progress thus far, and it doesn't hinge actually on what the South Vietnamese alone do.
Thank you, Bob. To sum up, President Nixon has announced his intention to withdraw an additional 150,000 men from South Vietnam over the next year, and he has again expressed interest in the Russian declaration of the possible need for another Geneva conference to end the troubles in Indochina. He appears to have asked the Russians to make their intentions in that regard clearer. Edwin Newman, NBC News.